as fuck. Mommy's alright, daddy's alright, they just seem a little bit weird. Surrender, giving yourself away.
Hello all, and welcome back to another episode of Courage Over Convention. I am Woody Wigman, and this episode is titled Invest, Don't Gamble. So in mapping the most sensible way for one to participate in financial markets where a lot is at stake, I find it very helpful to draw a parallel with the n-body problem in physics, where seemingly simplistic motion of celestial objects interacting gravitationally results in wildly unpredictable outcomes over time. Even a simple system allowed to iterate for long enough can produce very, very unpredictable outcomes. The n-body problem teaches us that even minute changes in initial conditions can lead to vastly different outcomes. And this concept is known as sensitivity to initial conditions, or more informally, the butterfly effect. Terrible film, but very important concept. This metaphor doesn't exactly hold in the financial markets, and that is because financial markets are shrouded in yet an additional layer of intractability. These are not simply complex systems, but complex adaptive systems, meaning the agents in the system are not just dead celestial bodies moving around in accordance with gravitational pull, but rather the agents are each sentient beings whose behaviors actually impact the broader system itself. So if Warren Buffett gets on and makes some projection about where the stock market's heading, that's going to filter through the ears and minds of market participants, and it's going to change the market. So it's just an added layer of incredible complexity. So the innumerable influencing factors and their intricate interplay really render prediction futile. It's a useless and pointless exercise to predict things. So what is the rational investor to do in the face of this profound complexity and inability to gaze into the future? Well, I see really only one prudent choice, and that is to maximize diversification and to architect a system that preserves your capital and capitalizes on inevitable outlier events. And it's extremely important to limit your losses. As we know, losses have asymmetrically damaging effects on wealth when compared to gains of the same magnitude. Those losses are deadly. So you really want to limit those with maximum diversification and with a systematic approach that takes your emotions and human cognitive biases out of the equation. So let's talk about an imprudent route. There's this whole landscape called factor investing. It's a method which for decades thrived on exploiting cognitive fallacies in people. Things like value investing. You know, that's something people ignore the cheap stocks, thinking they're cheap for a reason. You invest in them and suddenly the market realizes, oh, they shouldn't be that cheap. You know, that is exploiting a cognitive bias that is present in all humans, really. And that's why the value factor is so prevalent and used so frequently. But factor investing itself is a very crude method for arbitraging human nature, and this is true for myriad reasons. For one, it's called a long-only strategy. Long-only meaning it's only taking the long side of the trade as opposed to shorting the trade and hoping the stock falls. You're perpetually hoping that your stocks go up, which, as we know, they don't always do. But really, a long-only factor strategy is only a potential source of excess returns if and only if conditions for equities as a whole are favorable. So whether you know it or not, you know, if you're a long-only investor, you're implicitly assuming either permanent or most mostly favorable conditions throughout your time in the investment markets. You're playing one side of the coin. So heads, you know, you make money above or sometimes far below the benchmark if you're, you know, doing some factor investing strategy. But tails, you lose, and often you lose big. But if you envision the flip side of the coin, the short side that I talked about, playing this side of the trade does not only offer like potential gains and elevated capital protection, it leads to more substantial compounding over time. It's more diversified. You're making more bets and you're playing on two different sides of any given market. There's also one more thing to realize about this this whole situation. The metaphorical coin of trading that I talked about, it's not two, but rather three-dimensional. It's like a quantum qubit as opposed to a traditional binary bit capable of holding multiple states kind of simultaneously. And commodity trading advisors, these CTAs, they apply capital at every possible point they can on that spherical qubit. Most of them participate in anywhere from like 40 to 120 markets. And they systematically take long and short positions based on price action trends in each of those separate markets. And in doing so, CTAs arbitrage that collective intersubjective belief structure, the intersubjective beliefs and behaviors of the entire kind of human hive mind, so to speak. You know, it's an arbitrage on the entire aggregate of market participants. You know, playing ball in as many markets as you can and playing on both sides of the trade allows these CTAs to protect capital in a way that long-only investors could never do. This capital protection allows them to steadily compound wealth and to opportunistically lean into significant trends whenever they manifest. Reminds me of a Sun Tzu quote, indirect tactics are inexhaustible. I love that quote because it seems like you're taking losses and treading water for a long time when you're invested with these CTAs, but eventually these really significant trends will manifest and your powder is going to be dry because you're preserving, and then you can really lean into those trends. You know, the CTA approach is challenging for those who are not inoculated in sort of the school. It's hard to stick with because it really offers a decidedly different investor experience than that of the default Vanguardian majority. It's also not as easy to grasp the why underpinning the approach. But the cognitive strain you experience in seeking out the why behind the CTA kind of ethos, really, it's actually a barrier to entry for most. And it's actually a feature and not a bug. It's going to keep CTA approaches from becoming saturated like factors have. And while the lumpy returns and these kind of extensive dry spells where you're kind of treading water, that's going to keep the sort of refresh clicking, you know, dopamine addicts away from the strategy. You know, to the patient go the spoils. And this is a feature, as I said, for the inoculated Jedis and not a bug. But and that's why I firmly believe CTAs are always going to have an opportunity to exploit markets and to garner excess returns. Now, there's one more item on this topic, and it's fertile ground that's been mostly unexplored by CTAs in general. As far as I know, the only gentleman that's doing it is Jerry Parker. And that is allocating heavily to individual equity names in the U.S., buying futures, using the trend following strategy on individual equity names as opposed to broad equity indices, as is commonplace among his peers. And what's amazing about what Jerry's doing is he's doing it in an ETF, that means publicly available wrapper. And the ticker for that ETF, this is not investment advice. I am an owner of shares of this ETF, but it's a ticker TFPN. The standard approach for CTAs or trend followers is to use equity indices for, you know, maybe 25% of the allocation or 25% of the capital allocated to the market.
whereas Jerry in particular has chosen to get into the individual equity space, and in doing so has essentially created for himself, you know, 100 additional markets. I don't know what the exact figure is. I think it might be more than that, but he's following far more markets because each stock is not going to move in lockstep with the rest of these equity indices that are commonly used by other CTA advisors or CTA fund managers, rather. So it's that added diversification. And on top of that, there's always a good chance, regardless of the past, there's always a good chance that in this age of disruption that we're facing, where everything is absolutely insane, from technology to sort of the social sphere, some stocks are bound to rocket to the moon, and others are bound to become obsolete. So trading those individual names is a real chance to produce some returns as certain firms, heck, go to zero in a heightened interest rate environment where they can't roll their debt forward indefinitely. There's going to be far fewer sort of Kohl's situations where companies just hang around. It's going to be innovate or die, and innovate fast. So you really want to be holding those single names that are rocketing to the moon, because again, the winners are going to take all the spoils in this sort of age of disruption. Now, that this is a qualitative claim coming from me, it's a prediction, but I think it's readily observable in the data here.
And you know, the multiple expansion in these names and the contraction in these names are far more dependent on kind of random bouts of herding behavior than on anything else. So unlike stock indices, which are really controlled by these enormous kind of slow moving behemoth institutions, individual stocks, you know, as we've seen from meme stocks and the like, they can quickly enter and exit trends without the need for excessive trading volume. And that makes them a very appealing focus for trend followers who are looking to expand diversification and really find the outlier trends that are present in the market. You know, the whole market could be down, but there's always going to be some stock on a strong uptrend. So Jerry and his ilk are ready to capitalize on these single name securities when those swift and often durable trends do occur. So I guess to make a long story long, the end body problem is the furthest thing from a problem for CTAs.